Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
In John chapter 7 and verse 37, Jesus said and cried and stood and cried unto them, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And also Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, where Jesus, in talking to the church at Laodicea, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have taken you as children, as a hen would take her chicks under her wing, and you would not. Come and take of the water of life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would open the door, I will come into him, and he shall sup with me, and I with him." It is clear from these passages that the Lord invites men to come to Him. That the Lord wants men and women to come to Him. That the Lord desires closeness of relationship between Himself and those who come to Him. The Lord wants men to come to Him that He might benefit them, that He might provide for them the great blessings that are available. Notice that in these passages that I've quoted or read, there's the picture of rest. There's the picture of the hen gathering her chicks under her wings. There's the picture of sustenance. "I will sup with him, and he with me." These terms indicate comfort and love and protection, needs supplied, fellowship and communion. The Lord desires closeness. He wants us to come to him. As James would say, "Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." God wants us to come. He invites us to come. The Lord desires us to come. He urges us to come, to be close to him, because you must make the step to bring yourself in close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are several terms which indicate the great things that the Lord has for us and the relationship that he has for us in his invitation to come. First of all, Jesus wants us to come so that he might be our Savior. The very word Jesus means Savior. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall be the Savior of his people," Matthew 1 and 21. The Lord came, the Bible says, that he might deliver men from sin. He came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19 and 10. He came as the Savior, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Our great Savior, great deliverance from sin is involved in the idea of salvation, of Jesus being our Savior and asking us to come to him that he might be our Savior. Jesus delivers from guilt, from the practice, and from the consequences of sin. He delivers from sin, and all those aspects are involved in the deliverance from sin. He delivers from the guilt of sin through his blood as we are baptized into his death. He delivers from the practice of sin by providing the scriptures which allows us to live above and out of the control and the enslavement nature of sin. He provides us deliverance and salvation from the consequences of sin, that is condemnation, hopelessness in this life, death, by providing for us a continual cleansing of the blood of Jesus. By providing for us hope, a wonderful hope, an anchor of the soul, and providing for us assurance of salvation through the resurrection of his Son, through Jesus Christ. For the Lord has provided salvation, and he urges men that they might draw close to him to receive him as Savior. Come and let Jesus be your Savior. But Jesus also wants us to be close to him that he might be your King. The very idea of the word king is included in the word Christ. The word Christ is a Greek or an English form of the Greek word Christos, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament word Messiah, literally meaning the anointed one of God. Men were anointed kings. They were anointed as priests. In the Old Testament, you find that Jesus fulfills several aspects of the deliverers or the leaders of God's people in a spiritual way. Jesus was predicted to be the prophet of God. Not a prophet, but the prophet of God. It was predicted that he would be the priest, the greatest high priest of all for his people. That he would also be the king over his kingdom. We find in Acts chapter 2 that Peter says that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and then ascended on high, that he's now been made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. And he now sits on the throne of David, the spiritual throne of God, over the spiritual people of God. Jesus is now king. Pilate asked him, "Do you come to be a king? Have you come to be a king? Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "Thou sayest, I am a king." Jesus is not a physical king. He is a spiritual king over the spiritual kingdom. Now it follows that if Jesus is king, and he's on the right hand of God, and he's on the throne of the spiritual king, David, now, that the kingdom exists. His kingdom has existed and it is established. It is possible to enter into that kingdom, being translated out of the darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, Colossians 1 and 13. And there are blessings to be found in that kingdom with Jesus on the throne. The kingdom of Christ is the rule of Christ in the hearts of His people. Does Jesus rule as king in your life? If Jesus does not rule as king in your life, you're not close enough to Him. Jesus wants to be your king. The greatest king. The most powerful king. The most providing king that could ever be submitted to. Christianity is not a democracy. It is a monarchy. Jesus Christ is king. He wants to be your king. He wants you to come that He might serve as your king and the ruler of your life. Is He? Jesus says, "Come, I want you to be close to Me because I want to be your owner." Well, we don't like that in this country. We don't like the idea of someone owning us in this country. We got rid of slavery a long time ago. But in a spiritual way, the Bible teaches that Jesus wants to be our owners. And it's involved in the word Lord. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, "If any man confess Jesus Christ as Lord." Is Jesus your Lord? In 1 Peter 3 and 15, Peter says, "Sanctify Jesus Christ as Lord in your hearts, being ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and fear." Jesus has the right of ownership of His people. Jesus purchased us. He paid the price. And literally in the New Testament, the picture of Christians is a bond servant, one who is owned by another, who serves another. Whom do you serve? The 70s have been called the decade of me-ism. Me, myself, and I are being served today. But Christ calls men and says, "Come, come to be mine." There are many passages of Scripture that teach Jesus owning us or purchasing us, paying the price. In Acts 20, verse 28, to the Ephesian elders, Paul said that you are to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for it. Ephesians 5 and 25. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're not redeemed by material things, silver and gold, as our fathers sought to be redeemed, but rather we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. The precious blood of Christ on that cross of Calvary that we just remembered a moment ago paid the price, redeemed you, bought you from sin and the enslaving nature of sin. And He urges you to come close to Him that He might own you, that you might recognize Him as Lord, that you might enthrone Him as Lord in your life. Jesus wants to be your Lord. He wants to own you. He wants to pay the price. He wants to continually pay the price in the cleansing blood of Jesus. He wants you to be close to Him that He might be your Lord. But Jesus also wants you to come that He might be your teacher. Oh, how we need to be taught today. Oh, how ignorant we are of what is good for us. what is best for us, what is needed for us, what others need. Oh, how we need to be taught from our Lord Jesus. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the incomparable master teacher. Not only what He taught, but the way in which He taught it. Nicodemus said of Him, "Thou art a teacher come from God." And any teacher who comes from God is worthy of attention. Nicodemus recognized that. Oh, how we need to recognize it. We've become so compatible, so complacent about the Lord's instructions. Many of us are not interested anymore what the Lord says, but what I want. But the Lord urges that we might come, draw closer, have a closer relationship with Him, that I might teach you, that you might learn, that you might be better, that you might be better for yourself and for others and for me. Jesus wants to be our teacher. The officers who came to hear Jesus, who came to take Him into captivity, came to arrest Him, came back and reported to the scribes and the feast in John, scribes and Pharisees in John chapter 7 and verse 46, "Never man spake as this man spake." Brethren, we need to renew our zeal in looking at what Jesus says. What did our Lord say? What does He want us to do? How does He want us to talk? How does He want us to live? We need to be taught of Jesus. "Come," He says, "that I might instruct you, that I might be your teacher." Christianity, by its very nature, is a taught religion. One cannot be a Christian without being taught. And my friends, one cannot remain a Christian without continually being taught from the will of God and the Word of God. God speaks to us through His Son today, and that Word is revealed to us in the Scriptures. Jesus wants to be your teacher. He will be your teacher if you'll come. Come to Him and receive instruction. But the Bible pictures also in coming, Jesus says, "Come that I might be your shepherd." The beautiful passage is found in John chapter 10, talking about the shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd of the sheep. I'm not like a hireling that sneaks in and out and does no concern and runs away at the first problem. But rather," He said, "I am the true shepherd, the good shepherd, and I care for my sheep." When we think about a shepherd, we need to remember that a shepherd of the flock is one who protects and comforts and provides and guides. Jesus wants to guide us. He wants to protect us. He wants to comfort us. He wants to provide for us our needs. When we think about the 23rd Psalm, we need to think about it in light of what the Lord is in relationship to us as a shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and Thy staff, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Peter calls Jesus the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. He's the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the one who can guide, the one who can protect, the one who can comfort, the one who can sustain us and help us in time of trouble. He says, "Come, that I might be your shepherd." Is He your shepherd today? Why isn't He? But Jesus says, "Come that I might be your light." He wants to be light to us. You know, He uses figures of speech in this way, in a very metaphorical way or symbolic way. He speaks of Himself as being the light. He was the light that came from the existence with God to this world. In many places He calls Himself the light. "I am the light of the world," John 8 and 12, and John chapter 9 and verse 5. Those who are in Christ then have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, Colossians 1:13. Then out of darkness into a relationship with Jesus Christ as King who is light. In fact, the book of Revelation says there is no need of the sun in heaven because the Lord Himself shall be the light. Jesus provides light in darkness. The darkness and the bonding nature of sin has been and has now been, or it has now been made available that we can be released from that darkness and released from that bondage through the light. Jesus would say, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is light. And He asks us to come out of darkness. Stay away from darkness. Don't walk in darkness, but come that you might have light, that you might live. The Lord wants to be your light, your illuminator, your guide. In fact, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, Paul would say that we are illuminators. We who are Christians are illuminators. And really the idea is there that we're light reflectors. We're not creators of light ourselves, but we are reflectors of the light of Christ living in us because Christ Himself was light. And then another figure is that of Jesus being the bread. Come to me that I might be bread. When we think about bread, we normally talk about, you know, bread being the staff of life. And that's basically what Jesus has reference to here. He says, come that I might provide life. Not just physical life, although life physically would not exist without our Lord. For all things were created through Him, without Him, with not anything made that hath been made. But the bread of life here is spiritual life. He says, come that you might have the bread of life. He spoke of Himself frequently as He said, Moses gave you manna, but I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. If anybody partakes of me, shall live and shall not die. How strange they thought that was. Here's a man who claimed to be the very staff of life, the sustenance, the sustainer of life. Well, that would be the same thing as saying he's God. That's exactly what he was saying. He is deity. As the bread of life, he supplies our needs. He who comes to him will be provided for their hunger spiritually and emotionally. The inner man is met, or his needs are met. Jesus says, come that I might be your bread. Jesus says, come that I might be your water. He calls himself living water. To the woman at the well in John chapter 4, Jesus said, seek the living water, which enable you to live forever. And this woman said, give me that living water that I might live forever. And he says, I'm here. And then he began to talk with her, and then at the conclusion of this series of discussions, he had told her several things that had happened in her life, and she said, I know that the Messiah is coming. We're looking for the Messiah just like you Jews are looking for it. And Jesus said, the one who speaks to you, or this Messiah that you're looking for, I am He. Yes, Jesus said, I am living water. If any man drink of me, shall never thirst, shall have what he needs. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Lord today says to you, come, come close, that you might have a living water that sustains life, your life with God. Without Him, there is no life, just as there is no life without water physically. Jesus also says, come that I might be your clothing. How close do we need to get? Close and sufficient enough that Jesus actually becomes our apparel. So close, as we've indicated, that our thirst, our very thirst for things is filled in Jesus. Our very hunger for life is fulfilled in Jesus. Our very need of apparel is fulfilled in Jesus. Our life is wrapped up in Jesus. My brethren, if our life is wrapped up in Jesus, we won't have any problem meeting goals for the Lord. Our problem is that we are not wrapped up in Jesus. We're wrapped up in self and wrapped up in the world. The picture in Galatians chapter 3, where it says, For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. And the idea there of putting on Christ is literally like putting a coat on, putting a garment on. We put Him on, and He becomes our apparel. And He's manifested in our life to others because He's our clothing. We're so close to Him that He lives in us. And He lives apparently to others. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul speaks of this idea, the very similar idea about having Jesus on as a garment. He says, beginning in verse 11 through verse 14, I say then, let me get the right chapter 13. And this knowing the season that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep, for now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling or drunkenness, nor in chambering or wantonness, nor in strife and jealousy. Listen, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord as a garment. He says, come close enough. Come to me that you might be clothed in me. He also says, come that I might be your hope. You know, the more difficulty we have in this country, it seems to me the closer that people ought to be drawing to the Lord. The more trouble we have in this country, the closer we ought to be drawn to the Lord. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 24, Paul would say, hope, for we hope. For in hope were we saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopeth for that which he seeth? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Paul says that we have tribulation. We ought to rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfast approvedness, and approvedness hope, and hope puts us not to shame. We have been given hope through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. This hope that we have, Paul would say, is an anchor of the soul, anchoring us to our Savior in heaven, in Hebrews chapter 6. The hope is made possible and will be realized because of our Lord. There is no hope outside of Jesus. There is no hope, no hope, no hope outside of Jesus Christ. Thus Paul emphasizes that Christ is our hope. 1 Timothy 1 and 1 and Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. And then Jesus says, come close to me that I might be your very life. How different that is for many of us. Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I have crucified myself. And now Christ lives in me. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, Christ liveth in us through faith. Is Christ your life? Does your life center around your relationship to the Lord? It ought to. Everything that you do and say, everything that you don't do and don't say, ought to be centered around our Lord and around your Lord. Your life is centered in Christ Jesus. Jesus wants to be your life. We've sought to emphasize today the closeness which the Lord desires of you. He wants to be our Savior. He wants you to be close to Him that He might save you. He wants to be your King. He wants to be your Lord, your owner, your Master. He wants to be your sustenance. He wants to be your life. He wants to be your garment. He wants to be your bread, your water. He wants to be your life. Is He? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. You want to be closer to the Lord? You want the Lord to come in and sup with you and you with Him? You want to have a close relationship and fellowship and communion with the Lord? You open the door. Jesus is knocking. Jesus says, come. Jesus invites. You must make the step. Obey the gospel today through faith, repentance, confession, baptism. If you need to come home, restore your relationship to the Lord, be restored to His proper position as a member of the family of God and His body, then come. Come. Come to Jesus.